Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome! Zaslow Show 2.0, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and presented as always by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. You're involved in any kind of an accident, whatever it is, you're dealing with a personal injury, let them put their skills to work for you. Title sponsor, everything Zaslow Show 2.0. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Finally, we got some games to talk about. We had some action last night. The emphasis on some. This game was a blowout not right from the get-go, but kind of, you know, late first quarter. The Celtics start pouring it on. It's 37-20 at the end of the first. The Mavericks, they made a push to start the third quarter, cut the lead to 8. And then the Celtics, 14 straight points after that. That's it. Game over. Game one. Massive dud, which has really been the theme for the entire postseason. Hopefully, there'll be a lot of overreaction today. Hopefully, the rest of the series is what most of us, I think, thought or hope that it's going to end up being. But with the NBA Finals underway, the Stanley Cup Finals getting going tomorrow. Everybody knows that's the main event. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino, blackjack, poker, slot games. Head to the Bet Online website today. Get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. So, fun show today. We'll do some NBA. We'll do a lot of NBA, actually. We'll react to last night's game. Plus, we'll get some thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll get into. We always love having Trista Crick on the show. BetMGM, Odyssey Sports, every night, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. She is one of our favorites. I think she's going to be a big star. So we'll get Trista on the show again today. We'll talk some basketball with her. So we'll do a lot of NBA. We'll react to last night's finals. The Panthers, Stanley Cup Final Game 1 tomorrow. You know we're super pumped. It's Friday. That means I got to let you know. I know you guys are thinking about it. Is it a big game or not a big game? Okay, everybody calm down. We'll do big game, not a big game as well. All right, so it's Friday. You know how we do. We're super excited about the Panthers tomorrow. Let's start, though, with the NBA last night. Not a whole lot to get to as far as the game goes, but as far... look, Celtics crushed them really from the start. I think it's as good as the Celtics, and I gotta be fair, right? I mean, the Celtics get no love in the Zaslow Mansion. I hate the Celtics, but I gotta be fair. The Celtics... I think last night, they looked as good as they've looked the entire postseason. This Maverick team, no Jimmy Butler in Miami Heat, no Tyrese Halliburton Pacers, no Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, Cleveland Cavaliers. This Maverick team is the best team the Celtics have faced so far this postseason. And the Celtics played their best basketball last night. And here's the thing. You know, if you're not impressed, which I'm not, but if you're not impressed with what they've done so far in the Eastern Conference playoffs, they're 13-2. I mean, like, I gotta be fair. That's not a small thing. They're 13-2. Yes, the competition has been a joke. It's the easiest path to the finals. But they essentially steamrolled through the easiest path in the finals. And so far, we can only react to what we have in front of us. And what we have in front of us right now is just one game, and the Celtics crushed the best competition they've seen so far this postseason in the Dallas Mavericks. Now, when it all boils down to it, if the Celtics win, I'm going to find a way not to give them credit because fuck them. I hate them. But but it's an overreaction Friday. Everyone overreacts after game one. Everyone overreacts after every game. That's what's going to wind up happening on Sunday. If the Mavericks win on Sunday, the overreaction is going to be the Celtics are in trouble. The Mavericks, they stole the home court advantage. They got exactly what they wanted. They got a split. Doesn't matter if they lost game one by 1,000. If they get the split, they're in control. Or it'll be the other way. If the Celtics win game two, which they're going to be a heavy favorite, if the Celtics win game two, oh, the series is over. Down 2-0. And you know what? You know that drives me crazy. Calling a series over when it's 2-0 before both teams have played a home game. You know we're going to get one crazy reaction or the other crazy reaction. There's no nuance. There's nothing in between. My opinion does not change the series. I still think the Mavericks win the series. I think the Mavericks are going to win on Sunday. I think the Mavericks are going to win on Sunday. I think it's going to be a long series. I think it's Mavericks probably six or seven. Now, if the Mavericks don't win on Sunday, it can't be Mavericks in six. I would have to, my change of opinion, if the Celtics win on Sunday, will be Mavericks in seven. All right, because they're not going to win four straight against the Celtics if they fall down 0-2. That's the only thing that would change for me if the Mavericks lose on Sunday is Mavs in seven. But I don't think they're going to lose on Sunday. I think it's going to be a long series. I think it's going to be 1-1 going to Dallas. Now, the biggest thing to talk about from the game last night is not the actual game, because it was awful, terrible game. It's the storylines. And a couple of the storylines, you know, if we want to talk about series MVP, you're talking Tatum and Brown. Well, Brown's a front runner right now. Jaylen Brown played as well. Both sides of the floor. Jaylen Brown played as well as he can. He was very, very good last night. So if you want to talk about MVP, Brown, Tatum, Brown right now has a leg up after one game in the series. But the other storylines are what's juicier. Luka Doncic. You look at Luka's stats. What did he have? 31 last night? Luka did not have a good game. If Luka has one assist and none of the Mavericks were sharing the ball, it was a pitiful offensive effort from Dallas. Yes, a lot of that has to do with Boston's defense, of course. If Luka is not moving the ball around, if he's got only one assist, it's not a good game, all right? And defensively, boy, I did not think Luka was moving well. You guys all saw that, right? Or in the middle of the first quarter, he was gassed. I mean, I don't know if it's because they haven't played a game in a week. Luka was calling out. He had to come out and sub out late in the first quarter. Luka was not moving very well. Other big storyline. Porzingis provided a huge boost. No other way to put it. You know, I'm watching Porzingis run back up and down the floor. Like, hey, he's not moving so good. It looks so hot. And then he knocked down a couple shots. Like, all right, now you're getting the confidence going. Knocks down a couple threes. And then he had that one drive. He drives left, past Lively, dunks it, hangs on the rim. And then he's smiling. The crowd's going crazy. It was the best case scenario for the Celtics and Porzingis that first quarter, that first half. What do you have? 18 of his 20-something or 20 of his 26, I think it was, in the first half. Porzingis gave them a huge, huge boost that I did not expect. And then there's the Kyrie stuff. The Kyrie stuff did not feel like a big thing. I did not feel, and we'll talk to Trista about this, see if she felt the same way. I did not feel like there was massive vitriol or massive venom coming from the Celtic fan. Now, you would think there would be a huge deal with the Celtic fan because it's the finals. The stakes are so high. Celtics are trying to win the championship. Otherwise, it's Kyrie stopping them and Kyrie being the one to actually win the championship. There's no fan base, or at least I've said this over the last couple weeks on ESPN. There is no fan base that hates another player more than the Celtic fan hates Kyrie Irving. So you would have figured, everyone would have figured, I thought the venom was going to be something last night. But maybe because it's the finals, it wasn't such a big thing. I mean, they were booing him when he had the ball, but it's really easy to boo him when he has the ball and you're up by 25 points. You got to do something in the crowd there to keep you occupied. It's like, okay, let's boo Kyrie. The game's not close. Let's do something. We can boo when he has the ball. It's almost like all the booing during the regular season because, hey, this is a regular season game. It's not that important. We're focused on Kyrie. Let's boo the hell out of him. When yesterday it was the finals and the focus was on, yeah, the finals. That's what's so much more important than actually getting all caught up in the Kyrie stuff. Now, it's not like they weren't booing. They were, but it was not a big thing. And it's almost like you thought it was going to be a huge deal because of the finals, but maybe it's not a huge deal because it's the finals. There's a lot more important things to get all wrapped up in if you're a Celtic fan than Kyrie. So I'll be honest, I was surprised, but maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. So there's not, we'll get into it with Trista here. There's not a whole lot else for me from game number one. Game two is Sunday. That's right, not tomorrow. It's Sunday night. You got to take so many days off between games. Got to make sure the NBA player's happy. Everybody knows that. So those are the big stories from last night. I think the Mavericks are going to win on Mavericks better win on the Sunday. If you want this to be a good series, Mavs have to win on Sunday. I think the Mavs are going to win on Sunday. I think Luka will be a lot better. I have a hard time believing Kyrie Irving will not be better on Sunday. So there you have it. Game one goes to the Celtics. We'll get to some more of it with Trista coming up in a few minutes. All right. Tomorrow night, the main event. Everybody knows that. Your Florida Panthers. Game one, Edmonton Oilers, Amerant Bank Arena for the first time ever. Third overall appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals. For the first time ever, the Panthers have home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup Finals. By the way, obviously I'm super pumped up about it. I couldn't be more excited if I tried. By the way, great response this week to the hockey people we've had on the show. Panther guests, Randy Moeller, ESPN's Linda Cohn, Billy Lindsay. There's been a lot of great reaction to those interviews. And of course, always when we have interviews, including Trista today, I put it up on the YouTube channel. You're listening to the podcast right now. Podcast How I Make All the Monies. So I appreciate that. But sometimes you like to watch. If you want to watch when I have a guest on the show, I love that. You go to youtube.com/@Zaslow Show. You can always go back and watch or listen on the podcast to previous episodes /guests that we have on the show. So this week, like I said, if you want to get ready for Stanley Cup Finals Game 1 tomorrow, Red Deer Randy Moeller, Billy Lindsay, Linda Cohn all joined us over the last 3 days. Great response from you guys. I really appreciate that. I think it's been good stuff, all right? Today we're going to have Trista on, not a hockey guest, because figure, you know, finals last night, let's do some reaction. I think at this point, we're all ready for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow night. I'm going to be super nervous. You're going to be super nervous. We know how this goes. And while the Panthers do have the home ice advantage, it's not one of those deals where if the Oilers get one of the first two games, which, look, they very well may. I feel like it's going to be a long series. Losing home ice advantage, not a big thing. We know the way that goes. You've seen it like the Panthers in the first round, what did they go? They were 3-0 at home against Tampa, 1-1 on the road. Then against Boston, they were 1-2 at home and 3-0 on the road. That's right. We own TD Garden. Everybody knows that. 1-2 at home against Boston, 3-0 on the road. And then last round, the Panthers against the Rangers, they were, 2-1 at home. Yeah, 2-1 at home, 2-1 on the road. So the Panthers have been excellent on the road. They've lost home games here and there. They lost 2 to Boston. They lost 1 to the Rangers, all right? So home ice advantage, a big deal is the line changes, all right? You get last change. That is a big deal. But otherwise, it's not that big of a thing. But can the Panthers, can they just go up 2-0? We went up 2-0 against Tampa. That was not the case against Boston, not the case against New York. Can we just go up 2-0 against Edmonton? Can we make it easy? Can we just steamroll this team? I mean, is that possible? I think it's going to be a long series. But, man. Oh, and by the way, I haven't even checked yet on who's sus. Now, everybody knows, right? I love the expert picks on ESPN.com. All the experts, the analysts, the writers, the broadcasters, and they put out their picks for who they think is going to win. Like, for instance, Mavericks and Celtics. I checked out the expert picks. I love the expert picks. 17 experts, 9 of them had the Mavericks, 8 had the Celtics. All right, so let's do this in real time. I could do this in real time. All right, I've just pulled it up. Let's see. Expert picks, Panthers, Oilers, ESPN.com. Let's see who's got the Panthers, and let's see who's sus. All right, I'll list all the people to you. I don't care. Let's do it. All right, Sean Allen, Panther. I don't know that fool. Sean Allen, Panthers in 6. John Butchergross, Oilers in 7. He's sus. Cassie Campbell-Pascal, Panthers in 6. Sashin Shandon, Panthers in 6. Ryan S. Clark, Oilers in 7. You're sus. Linda Cohn, Panthers in 7. Ray Ferraro, Panthers in 6. Emily Kaplan, Panthers in 7. Tim Kavanaugh, Oilers in 6. You're sus. Peter Lawrence Riddell, Panthers in 6. Steve Levy, Panthers in 7. Vince Massey, Oilers in 6. You're sus. Victoria Matiash, Panthers in 6. Sean McDonough, Panthers in 7. Mark Messier, Oilers in 7. You sus. You knew Messier is going to go with the Oilers. Favorite team, won Stanley Cups them. AJ Molesko, Panthers in 7. Mike Monaco, Oilers in 7. You sus. Arda Okal, Oilers in 7. You sus. Kristen Shilton, Panthers in 6. Bob Wyszczyzn, Panthers in 7. Greg Wyszynski, Oilers in 6. You sus, Greg Wyszynski. Come on. So overall, the Panthers, 13 of the 21 experts picked the Panthers. 8 have the Oilers. All right. I love expert picks. By the way, if anyone wants to get me an early Father's Day gift, you see, WWE is making their custom championship belt for the winner of the Stanley Cup. Oh, my God. I want that belt. As long as, yeah, I don't want it for the Oilers. I want it the Panthers win. Early Father's Day gift, everyone. I want, maybe I'll tell my wife, you know. I want that Florida Panther Stanley Cup Championship WWE belt. Early Father's Day gift. That's what I'm looking for. All right. You guys know what time it is. We'll get to Trista in a moment here. You're thinking to yourself, Zaslow, I got to know. Is it a big game? Or is it not a big game? Big game or not a big game? Let's get to it. We only have 3 big games or not big games. Not a lot of action. It's the summertime. You know how it goes. Let's get right after it here. Let's skip right to tomorrow night. Saturday. 8 p.m. ABC. That's the American Broadcast Company. Edmonton Oilers at your Florida Panthers. The greatest hockey team in the land. Game 1. Live from Sunrise's Amerant Bank Arena. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. On the Panthers side, Sasha Barkov, Sam Reinhart, Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Gustav Forsling. I mean, the greatest hockey, your favorite hockey players in the world. Back-to-back appearances in the Stanley Cup Finals for your Florida Panthers. First time ever with home ice advantage. This is a different animal, the Oilers, because the Panthers have faced a murderer's row of goalies. Vasilevsky, Swayman, Shesterkin. Now, this Skinner guy, he was pulled in the first round for a couple of games and then got back in the net, and he's been good since then. But I don't think he's one of these big-time goaltenders, all right? It's more about their offense. Draisaitl, McKinnon, Evan Bouchard, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. This is a very, very good Oiler team, but the goaltending is not their top guy like you would say it's been for the previous team. The Panthers, they're going to shut that shit down starting tomorrow night. Oilers at Panthers. That's a big game. Don't. All right. Sunday, 7 p.m. Peacock. NXT Battleground. That's right. This weekend, NXT is doing a premium live event from the UFC Apex Arena, whatever the hell they call it, all right? This looks like a good show. I haven't been way into NXT over the last couple of months. This show's caught my eye. The main event for the Women's Championship, Roxanne Perez defending against TNA Knockouts champion Jordynne Grace. First time ever. How about that? We're getting some crossover. I love it. Clearly, WWE has a relationship with TNA. I love it. Jordynne Grace is really cool. And she has a chance to win the NXT Championship and bring it back on TNA television. I love it. I don't think she's going to win. Roxanne Perez is a heavy favorite, even though Jordynne Grace is so much bigger than her. Like, Jordynne Grace is jacked, and Roxanne Perez is tiny to begin with. Roxanne Perez, I'd be stunned if she lost the title, but I'm into it. I love that you have the Knockouts champion against the NXT champion. So, NXT Battleground, that's a big game. One more for you here. Sunday, 8 p.m., ABC. Dallas Mavericks at the Boston Celtics. Game 2. That's right. The Mavs, I mean, is it a must-win game? No. Is it a gotta-have-it game? Maybe, because I'll never count a team out that hasn't played a home game yet. But you put yourself in a very difficult spot where the Celtics have only lost 2 games this postseason. If you fall down 0-2, you then got to win 4 out of 5. All right? The Celtics have only lost 2 out of 15 so far. If you lose on Sunday, then you got to beat them 4 out of 5. It doesn't feel like a good scenario that the Mavericks would find themselves in. I do think the Mavericks are going to win Sunday night. I think Sunday night is going to be a really competitive game. Yesterday was a massive dud. Mavericks at Celtics, game 2. That's a big game. And that right there is another edition of Big Game or Not a Big Game. Yes. All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by the official beer of the program, Johnny Cuba, European roots with that Caribbean soul, a refreshing German lager in a can. How are you going to enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals this weekend without a Johnny Cuba on your hand? You know what I'm talking about. Go to your local Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie, Fresco y Mas. You pick up a Johnny Cuba. That's how you get the weekend going. Make sure you always drink responsibly. And don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. Joining us now, she knows she is one of my favorites, Trista Crick, BetMGM, Odyssey's BetMGM, every weeknight, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. One of my favorites to have on the program. Hello, Trista. How are you today?
What's up? The weather's good. We've got the most, the peak of our sportsdom with the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals happening all at once. You are still alive, my friend. Good for you. Another good year for folks in Florida.
Are you dialed in? Like, obviously, you know, and I want to talk finals. I want to talk about last night with you. But are you guys dialed into the Stanley Cup? Have you been all over it on your show?
We've talked about it throughout the course of the playoffs. I think that the time it got really intense was obviously in that Rangers series, because we have a lot of Rangers commentators and people who cover the team that come on the show, Johnny Lazarus being one. He's very sad. And it felt like there was a little extra, just a little ribbing for him in terms of like the Rangers were done. Yeah, Florida looks excellent. Florida looks physical. They look fast. They look able to get into their offensive sets faster than everybody else. Obviously, the penalty kill has been incredible this year as well. I think, 10-0. So, yeah, it's been fun. It's been really exciting. I think, honestly, if I wasn't so dialed into the NBA, I would be a very rabid hockey fan. I can get into it and, like, emotionally very excited from hockey in a way that NBA does just not do for me.
Tickets are so expensive. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to go to a Stanley Cup Finals game. The cheapest ticket to get into the building is about $600. In Edmonton, it's about $1,000. Here, it's $600. But it's not just me. It would be me times 3 because I got to take my boys, you know? And that's, like, it's a crazy amount of money to sit all the way up top. What's the most money you've ever spent to go to a sporting event?
I went to the national title game. And so this is a funny story. So I want to say it was like $850, but it ended up being like, I ended up going to see Oregon play Auburn. And so the $850 was like 50-yard line.
And it's because you're into Oregon. You're from Oregon. That's why.
Went to Oregon. And it was the first time we had ever really been at that level. It was the last year of the BCS. And so it was Cam Newton's year. And it was Darren Thomas in Phoenix, actually. So I was staying with my grandma. I drove over. And then I ended up, like, just getting the ticket scalped and was just walking around. Hey, do you have an extra ticket? Do you have an extra ticket? Do you have an extra ticket? And so that was actually face value that the guy gave it to me for.
And so if it's $850 back then, you got $850 cash on you then is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I had to go to the ATM, and it was painful. It was really, really painful.
Well, and then they lose that game, okay? And so, see, that's the thing for me. Number one, spending that much money. And number two, then what if your team loses? Because and then people tell me, oh, but it's the experience. I'm like, I don't know, spending a ton of money and then my team loses, that's not a fun experience to me.
No, it's not. And there's nowhere you'd rather be than anywhere but there. Like anywhere but there. And when you're talking and walking through the crowd of fans that are celebrating around you,
sucks.
Very different than like turn the TV off, go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta be in a controlled environment. That's why like these Stanley Cup finals. Oh, you know, Zaslow, you love the Panthers. Don't you wanna be there? It's like, yeah, I wanna be there, but you know, I don't know what schmucks are gonna be sitting around me the whole game. I'd rather be with my boys, with people that I love and enjoying it, you know?
Didn't you go to a game last year?
I went to a Stanley Cup final game last year. Yeah, I went to game four last year. Me and my son, one of my sponsors, brought us. So, okay.
Wow.
You know, one of my sponsors is going to bring me and my son, and I've never been to a Stanley Cup game at that point. Let's go. But, you know, I went. I've done it before. If someone wants to give me tickets, I'll go. But spending the money, I want to sit in a controlled environment, and I want to be on the verge of projectile vomit in my family room, just enjoying all of the anxiety there.
Yeah, I get that, dude. I won't go to a game. I won't go to a Ducks game unless there's very low stakes. I'm going to probably go to some home games this year when now that Oregon's in the Big Ten. So it'll be fascinating. Yeah, I feel you, dude. Like the traveling is really bad. It happened to me also when we played LSU in the that was not even like a big game. That was the first game of the season, the next season in Dallas. And it was like a bajillion degrees. And I threw up. I had like been drinking the night before, threw up. LSU fans were dragging dead ducks through the streets. Tiger bait, y'all, ducks, just tiger bait. So yeah, I've had my fill.
Yeah, it's not fun to me anyway. Going into the finals, what was your pick going into last night? And I would imagine like whoever it is, your pick's not going to change after one game, although we all like to overreact. Who was your pick going into the game last night?
I had Mavs in 7, and I also had Mavs +6.5 in the game, which was never, ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Like you could just tell right away. I just think in general you saw – like I was looking at the keys and kind of just what happened last night, like going through the box score, and there's just nobody was making any shots for Dallas other than Luka. Pretty much, that's pretty much plain and simple. Other than PJ Washington, you had no role players doing a thing. You had no assists, and you had a block party for Boston. They were just so active. I think they had 9 blocks, and Dallas had 9 assists.
Yeah.
So they had the same amount of blocks as assists. That's crazy. I think Boston just looks really good right now. They look obviously like they have 5 really, really good all NBA caliber players playing and dialed in. Jason Tatum didn't even need to score last night. So Dallas is going to need to come out and have Kyrie Irving's going to need to be really big in order for them to figure out a way to compete.
I was a little bit surprised that I guess the lack thereof, the vitriol directed at Kyrie Irving. I thought it was going to be crazy. I didn't think it was that big of a thing.
And he didn't play that well. So I feel like that might have had something to do with the lack of vitriol. If he's putting up 40, he's getting the Trae Young treatment at the Garden. Like he's getting the Draymond Green. He didn't do anything that would cause alarm in the building either. Like remember Draymond stepped on Grant Williams, and there was that whole thing in a couple of years ago, and then that turned into a huge thing with the fan base. So, yeah, there is no love for Kyrie, but you're right. There was no talk about heckling. There was no talk about the common Boston racial slurs that have been shouted to opposing teams and players. So, yeah, I was surprised about that as well. It was actually quite genteel.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we thought it was going to be a whole big production because it's the finals, and so there's so much on the line. But maybe that's exactly why it wasn't a whole big thing, is because, yeah, it's the finals. We're a little bit more focused on actually winning the finals as opposed to the regular season where, all right, let's just boo the hell out of Kyrie Irving. I think it's actually the opposite of what we thought it was going to be as far as the venom and the hate.
Yeah, and I think it's been long enough where, I don't know, maybe the fans have not gotten over it, but the level of pain and anger has started to subside. They're in the finals. They've moved on without Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's not in, like, this huge market. He wasn't spurned. He ended up, like, having to humble himself to go to a place like Dallas. So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting storyline to see if it ever pops up during this series.
We'll get right back to the conversation, guys. But first, I want to tell you, if you're thinking about getting a new car, I'm sending you to the only car dealership I personally endorse. Yeah, I'm talking about North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. At North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, we're talking an extensive new and pre-owned Subaru inventory, plus used cars, trucks, SUVs of every make and model. You are sure to find your next vehicle at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Plus, all new Subarus and most pre-owned vehicles come with a lifetime warranty, so you know that you're covered. Hey, maybe you just want to get your current vehicle serviced. Luckily for you, did you know that at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, they service all makes and models? That's right. So either way, you're going to be treated like royalty when you go to North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. And with prices less than many of those small shops, you can service with confidence at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. You're getting an exceptional experience every time you walk in the showroom doors at that brand new state-of-the-art facility on North Andrews Avenue. You know which one I'm talking about. It's that beautiful building. And you could see it from I-95 at the Cypress Creek Road exit. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the only car dealership I endorse here on Zaslow Show 2.0, and that's because I want to make sure you guys get the best deal around. Go to nflsubaru.com. That's nflsubaru.com. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love.
I think Dallas is going to win the series, too. I felt six games, six, seven, whatever. But we love overreacting after one game. Like, you don't feel differently about the series after last night. I could totally see Dallas winning Sunday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in general, too, you've had Dallas lose by a bajillion to the Clippers. That happened as well. So, and they ended up winning that series. You've had games where, you know, Dallas has had to come back from down 30, and they find a way to do that. Dallas is a very resilient team, but what we need is essentially guys like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford and probably Maxi Kleba to step up and not just play really good perimeter defense on Kristaps Porzingis, but also they need to score. Like, that's the key, is obviously putting the ball in the hoop for Dallas, considering that they have so much three-point shooting in Boston. And I would say this, there's going to be multiple games where Boston's not hot from three. They were pretty good. And when they don't shoot the three well, or even like mediocre, when they shoot the ball poorly, they have no other offense. They have no other option. And they almost like self-destruct, you know, they start making mistakes. They start forcing shots and things get really ugly, really fast. So that's kind of how I see this going, is like ebbs and flows between both teams of that type of a thing.
Trista, do you think Dan Hurley is going to take this Laker job? I do not.
I hope not. I'm so despondent about it.
Why?
Because
very dramatic.
As a better, there's nothing better feeling than betting on UConn and Dan Hurley. Like, nothing.
Okay.
12-0 against the spread in the playoffs, in the final, in March Madness, 2 years in a row, and not even really even close. I made more money betting on UConn the last 2 years than probably on anything else. And that's not like, and I, this year I took like $100 and then I rolled it over. Rolled it over every round. So me and PJ, one of my co-hosts, went to the Final Four to watch Alabama, his team, play UConn. And I had an incredible amount of money on UConn. And that thing went down to the wire in terms of covering the numbers. So Dan Hurley is the gift that keeps on giving. And then I hate the Lakers as a Portland fan. And I love Dan Hurley and everything that he's about as a culture guy, as a guy who's like intuitive and looking at kids and looking how they watch on their phone and looking how they communicate with their parents. And are they shouldering blame? Are they passing blame off? Like he said, like one guy can kill a locker room and kill your entire program, sink you like a cancer. And then to have him go to a place like Los Angeles and that Lakers organization, which let's be honest, it's a mess. Jeannie Buss is not a great owner. She has people in her ear. There's like a million cooks in the kitchen. I actually texted, I've never done this one time, but I texted Jeff Goodman and I said, Dan Hurley needs to know that Dan Hurley needs to know there's a million cooks in this kitchen. This is one of the most dysfunctional franchises. You're going to see the lights and the glitz and the glam of the purple and gold and all those banners. It's not what it seems, okay? Like the $15 million is nice, but this is not going to work. I didn't even like ask for Jeff Goodman's opinion. I just texted him that, like on my own. Hey, Dan needs to know this.
You know, I don't think he's going to take the job. I think he's smart enough to realize, you know, Gino Auriemma just got the extension at the same school. I think it's a little bit of a ploy to get more money, all right? You'd be coaching LeBron for maybe 2 years. You're going to leave this cush gig at UConn to rebuild the Lakers? It's not a good job for some... Like, Dan Hurley can have any job he wants. College, of course, which he would never leave UConn for, or the pros. He can have any job he wants. That's not a good job for him. It's a good job for Darvin Ham. I mean, it's one out of 30 in the entire world. If you've never been a coach before, of course coaching the Lakers is a great job. For if you could have any job you want, the Lakers job's not a good job, Trista.
No, it's not a good job. Like, and you look at the players on this roster, Rui Hachimura is a gentle, fragile soul. You can't scream at Rui Hachimura. You can't scream at Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis isn't like a tough kid. They call him bones of, what is it? Paper, skin of paper, bones of glass. you can't grab him by the scruff of his neck. What are we talking about? I don't understand how this is going to work. Yelling coaches in college have never translated to the NBA. Not one time. This has never happened. They always bounce back.
How about LeBron wants you to believe that he has no say in the coach? For the first time in his career, he's had a say in every coach. He's had a say in the hiring and the firing. And now the team that is likely going to draft his son, he has no say in who's going to coach his son. That's believable.
And he has no say that they're going to draft his son. Like, oh, you know, LeBron, if you weren't here, we would still be interested in Bronny James. We would still move up into the second round for your son independently that this is an important aspect for you. No chance. No chance. And I'm like really curious about what happens with the Mind the Game podcast. You know, I'm locked in on that.
Well, I do believe JJ Redick's going to be the coach.
You do? Yeah. So do they keep that podcast going then?
No way. Come on. No way.
Come on, we need it, right? Like, we need a debrief of 82 games between coach and star player on a podcast.
Like, I just don't believe the Lakers are a serious team. Like, you're going, and I understand, like, they're trying to hire Dan Hurley, but I don't think he's going to take it. And then the option is, who should we get as coach? Oh, I know, someone who's never coached before, JJ Redick. Like, that's not a serious team to me, Trista.
And I don't think, you know, the thing that I find to be very unserious is that the rhetoric and the language around both Dan Hurley and JJ Redick is that they think they're the next Pat Riley.
Oh, come on. Mind you that Pat Riley was an assistant coach for several years. Don't forget about that. You know, Yes, he came from broadcasting, but he was also an assistant coach for several years before he became the head coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't see why you would leave that J.J. Redick is the next Pat Riley. I don't think there's anything that gives you, other than the broadcasting chops, I don't think there's anything, and like a good basketball mind. But like, J.J. Redick wasn't the level of player that Pat Riley was. Doesn't have the demeanor that Pat Riley has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a different time. Like, yeah, Riley was tough. He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know? Sorry to break up the conversation, you guys, but I want to make sure that you got the best homeowners insurance out there. And that's why I direct you to Brunt Insurance. I've been getting my homeowners insurance from Brunt Insurance for about 10 years now. And I keep going back. I keep going back. I keep renewing because I know I have the most comprehensive coverage out there, and I'm getting it at the most affordable rate there is. You know, some of you guys, you're listening now on the west coast of Florida. God forbid you got some damage to your home because of the storm yesterday. Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204, or you go to bruntinsurance.com. And yes, anywhere in Florida, Brunt Insurance has you covered. They have locations all throughout the state. So you could be calling from Pensacola or all the way down to the Keys and beyond. Greg Brunt and his team at Brunt Insurance, his fully licensed staff, they have the expertise, they have the experience, they know what area you're calling from. So they're going to know exactly what type of coverage you need, what kind of policies you have to make sure you have. Hey, that also includes trailers and motorhomes. Let the team at Brunt Insurance help you learn more about your policy options so you're making an informed decision that's not going to keep you up at night. And you don't even have to own your home. Renter's insurance, condo insurance, all the options out there. It could make your head spin. Brunt Insurance specializes in making the confusing crystal clear. When you call 954-589-2204, you're making the right call. Bruntinsurance.com, the only insurance agency that I'm going to send you to.
Trista, give me some thoughts here on all the commotion in the WNBA this last week. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm some kind of expert with WNBA. This is the first time in my life. A lot of it has to do with Caitlin Clark, and more of it has to do with the fact that I'm hosting shows on ESPN Radio. So I have to know a little bit about what's going on. You know, I'm not necessarily watching it because I love it. But the commotion the last week, Caitlin Clark, Kennedy Carter, picking up. Give me some thoughts on what you've heard lately.
Yeah, I think it's so complex, and the more you know about the history of the game, the more complex it gets. And to me, it feels like there's a group of people who are riding and watching the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. And they watched her in college, and they tuned in at some point a couple of years ago, probably prior to the LSU game, not during the LSU game. I don't think that's like when she became a part of the collective consciousness. I think it was much earlier than that, because she was breaking records and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And people were comparing her to Steph Curry even the year before that. Mm-hmm. So there's a group of fans, I think, that are super excited about Caitlin and really don't maybe know a lot about the WNBA. And they know that she's transcendent and exciting. And they maybe thought that she was going to come in And like I saw this, like she had the fourth best odds for MVP, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Like a rookie is not coming in and winning MVP. And then you've got like, so these expectations of Caitlin are really high from a group of fans that were never really WNBA fans. And so they're really loud. And some of them are racist, probably. Like some, and like some have said really nasty things about Angel Reese and South Carolina and LSU as a whole, a lot of racially charged language there. So yep. You've got that group. Then you got the WNBA players and coaches that feel, as Gino Auriemma said to Dan Patrick, pretty disrespected by those new fans. And so they're wanting to show Caitlin Clark and mostly her fans, she's not the one. She's not the great white hope. She's not everything that you think that she is. There's going to be a learning adjustment process. And not only is there going to be one, we're going to make sure there's one. So we're going to pick her up 94 feet from the rim, even when she's down 30. We're going to double team her. We're going to face guard her. We're going to make her life absolutely hell. Then you add in this like contingent of media members that I think are feeling maybe a little squeezed out, or they're feeling like those newer fans don't have the right to come in and say anything about the WNBA because they don't know anything, which I think is very unfair. And you have to have new fans grow the sport to make it commercial and to give these players more money and to make the sport larger and more accessible. And commercialization and mainstream is just, that's just the way it is. Like, there's going to be uneducated fans. So they're like holding their ground and gatekeeping the conversation, and also making almost like gaslighting us into thinking that Caitlin Clark's not being treated any different than any other rookie, and telling new fans what you're seeing and you think is like abnormal. No, that's just the W. And that's wrong too. Like, I think everybody's like a little right and a little wrong. And things
right, that part's weird to me, where it's like, stop telling me what my eyes are, what my eyes are saying the opposite of what you're trying to tell me. I've watched sports for a little bit. All right. I know what I'm watching. I know what I'm seeing. That part's been weird.
That to me is like very disrespectful to people like you, right? Like, you may not know the history of the W, and you may not have watched a lot of WNBA games, but you've watched a lot of sports, and you can feel the energy, not just the how hard the fouls are, but the energy in which the fouls are being delivered, or the way that just the energy person to person, right? Like, you can tell some, a minority, but some of these players in the moment, or maybe not in the moment, dislike Caitlin Clark and the whole thing around her. Like, Kennedy Clark obviously was very chippy back and forth with Caitlin, but also right before she hip checked her, she called her a bitch. And she said the word bitch, not in the way of like, listen here, bitch, like, bitch, you know, like, I'm about to lay you out kind of bitch. So that's there. But those WNBA media contingency, and they're all the, like, it's the same thing, no matter, I can tell you what they're about to tweet before they even tweet it. Like, Caitlin Clark's not that special. She's struggling. The way that she's being treated is exactly the same. You know, she came in, and she, the only reason she's popular is because the whole rookie class is popular, downgrading her transcendency and her popularity, and also saying, you guys just want us to worship her. You guys just want us to kiss her ass and bow down to her every time, and you want those players to do the same. No, nobody's saying that. Nobody. And then you have NBA media talking about it, and they're men, and they don't know a ton about the game, and that's causing backlash too, like Charles Barkley, Stephen A. You've had it, the list goes on and on. And LeBron even chiming in. And then that WNBA media comes in and says, see, like, they are protecting the great white hope. These black men in the media are doing exactly what, like, the Caitlin Clark fans want, which is to shield her and shepherd her and protect her. And so it's very racially charged. It's very ultra left and ultra right, and I don't like any of it. I really don't. Meanwhile, Asia Wilson, the two-time MVP, put up 36 points last night. I think she had 13 rebounds and 6 steals. She got clocked in the face and was bleeding. So the WNBA is getting bigger, and I think there's a lot of people who would rather it stay small than have fans that they don't like watching it.
Excellent job, Trista. I mean, you hit it from all angles there. You know, the thing that I think is also happening is I think some people are having a hard time on how to cover it being a physical women's game. And what I mean by that is I kind of think it's similar to, you know, really like right around when Ronda Rousey started to make started to get big with the UFC, and now women's fighting is going to be a big thing. And it was like, ooh, I don't know if I like that. Women are punching each other and women are being really physical, and I don't want to see women get hurt. You know, there's a lot of that. And I think there's a little bit of that carrying over to what we're seeing in the WNBA. It's like, wow, some of these women, they're nasty and they're physical. And it's like, well, no, they're kind of exactly the way that men are. And we're just confused seeing it because it's women. And we don't like, and we as men maybe, don't like watching women get hurt. I don't want to watch Asia Wilson bloody from the nose and she's got a black eye. It's like, women need to be protected, you know? Like, we need to be really nice and delicate with women. And I think there's a lot of that where we're not used to seeing women compete at this level when it's really like, yeah, they're competing the exact same way that men do, and we're not used to it.
Yeah, and we're not used to, like, how to talk about it, right. And you're not sure what's a cheap shot and what's just, like, a super physical play, because everything when you're new to the W, or even, like, in general watching women's sports, everything feels kind of cheap, right? And it wouldn't feel cheap in the men's game. It would just look like an everyday.
It would just be physical.
Correct. And I think you're right. And I think that's probably a part of what has held women's hoops back, is this, like, I don't really want to watch a game that's ultra physical. And while it's gotten much more skilled, so much of the W has been bigs dominating down low, which is the early iterations of basketball as a whole, which we've evolved past. In the men's side, we want to see perimeter scoring. And so, you know, that's, I think, another reason that people love Caitlin Clark, and they're going to love Paige Beckers, and they're going to love Juju Watkins, is you've got very highly skilled perimeter players that are opening up with the game in a spacing way, and are less physical than, say, players like Brittany Griner down low, right? Like, or Asia Wilson, or like Jonquel Jones. So I think there's an element of it that's just the fact that the NBA is only 27 years old.
Mm-hmm. Great job, Trista. Always excellent. What are you watching these days? Any new shows, any new movies that you've seen?
I have one for you. It's called The Veil, and it's Elizabeth Moss from Elizabeth Moss has crazy eyes and, like, damaged eyes down. Like, that's her jam. You know, when she, like, looks off into the distance, like, she's processing a bajillion types of trauma, and she's trying to, like, protect herself emotionally to, like, steal herself out into the world. That's her jam. So that's what she has here. Crazy backstory. She works for the MI6, but had really traumatic upbringing in terms of how she lost her dad, which she gets into. And she's following and trying to figure out whether this woman at a refugee camp in Turkey is leading an ISIS plot.
It's a show or a movie?
It's a show. Okay. And they can't figure out whether she's leading this ISIS plot, 6 episodes, Hulu, to try to, you know, do something to the U.S., or whether this is just a woman who's in the wrong place at the wrong time and wants to protect her daughter, and they're playing.
I like the sound of this. This is something I can watch with my wife.
Kind of like the Americans vibe. I know you like that.
Yes.
Like, what's real? It's not real. Like, a lot of, like, in the shadows, a lot of, like, double entendres. Great stuff.
Well, I can tell you, for folks you listening, Trista has been very good with the recommendations. You know, you recommended Goliath to me, and we loved Goliath. That show was crazy, Billy Bob Thornton. And this show, The Veil, that sounds right up our alley. I like that. All right, that's a good suggestion.
Trista and Ebert.
That's right, Trista and Ebert. Let's go. Trista, plug a bunch of stuff. Tell folks everything you got going on. Go ahead.
Podcast 3 times a week, Heat Check. If you like the NBA, it's a comedy podcast. We'll be doing that more on video. We do that every part of the season, even the off season, 3 times a week, wherever you get your podcast. Also, BetMGM Tonight, Monday through Friday. You can watch that on twitch.com/BetQL or on YouTube Live. Or I think it's, like, nationally syndicated on 100 channels or something, but you can find that in podcast form as well. I also am now doing Chicago radio. I don't know if I told you this.
Oh,
yet,
okay.
But WSCR, The Score, talking Chicago sports on the weekends, Cubs, Bears, Bulls. It's probably, we don't need to talk about the White Sox right now. They're
probably
really
not.
Bad. Probably yeah. bad. So, so doing that on the weekends, just very, very busy. I think there's more, but I'm not sure. And then follow me on Instagram at Trista_Crick. That's where the takes come in like real time form.
Excellent job, Trista. We love having you on. Keep up the great work. You're one of our favorites. Always a great job by Trista Crick. Appreciate her joining us there. And of course, like she said, you can check her out, BetMGM, Odyssey Sports, every night, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, and by the way,
A new episode dropped earlier today of our wrestling podcast, It's Still Real to Me. Really fun episode today. Go check that out. And you could also go and watch it on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Zaslow Show. Evan Husney, we've had him on the show before. I don't think we've ever had him on the podcast. We've had him on Zaslow Show on 790 A Ticket. He is the executive producer and one of the co-creators of Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring. That's right. You get the cool wrestling stories, the controversial wrestling stories. So he is the feature of this week's episode of It's Still Real to Me because it premiered a couple nights ago, episode one of a four-part series on Dark Side of the Ring, Who Killed WCW? So you want to check that out. You can watch it, like I said, youtube.com/@Zaslow Show or wherever you're listening to today's edition of Zaslow Show 2.0, It's Still Real to Me. It's right there under the Zaslow Show 2.0 umbrella. So you go and check that out. Evan Husney, It's Still Real to Me. Who Killed WCW? You'll really enjoy that. Also, good opportunity for me to tell you guys, this Saturday night, if you're on your way to Amerant Bank Arena, you're looking for where the big deals are, trying to get your new Florida Panther gear, Caneswear. Now, you know Caneswear is the spot Miami sports fans shop. They have the greatest selection, the largest selection of Miami Hurricanes gear. But whatever team you're looking for here in South Florida, all of our favorite teams, Dolphins, Heat, Panthers, Inter Miami, Caneswear is the spot, South Florida sports fan shop. So easy to find Caneswear in Davie, 2655 South University Drive. Real easy, just south of 595 on the west side of University. You got the big block letters in orange and green, Caneswear, you know what I'm talking about. Or just go to caneswear.com right now. You could shop their inventory online. They're going to deliver it right to your front step. I mean, it's so convenient. Items for men, women, children, even your pets. You want to put a Matthew Tkachuk jersey on your dog? I don't know what you're up to. That's up to you. Stop by Caneswear in Davie, 2655 South University Drive, or get all of the big deals at caneswear.com. There you go. All right. I am not on ESPN Radio this weekend. We will talk again on Monday. Can we start Monday's show with the Florida Panthers nursing a one-game-to-none series lead in the Stanley Cup Final over the Edmonton Oilers? Come on, let's go! Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks all of you guys behind the scenes who always help put together such a great show. Your hard work and your dedication is inspiring to me every single day. I love you long time. We'll talk to you on Monday on another edition of Zaslow Show 2.0. You know what that means.